Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
There is a quote that's often quoted, and it's a truth statement, and that statement goes something like this. We get to choose who we marry, but not the family that we are born into. Then there are those various reasons, sometimes good and sometimes not so good. People end up raised outside of their birth family and may look back and wonder why. But whatever the case may have been, family become the catalyst in which life becomes shaped. I don't care what you may think about your family after you got saved and how you may look at them and how they may act and operate. That's the environment that we came from, family. And everybody's family has a certain shape. The reality is that once we become born again, the catalyst in which God uses to bring a reshaping of our families is through the weapon of prayer. Prayer is designed by God relative to family to cause family to be reshaped in God's design and destiny for a family. The bad thing that happens, sometimes we want our families to look a certain way that we want them to look. No, we've got to realize that prayer for the family is not designed to make the family look like I want it to look, but to be in the design that God has for it. And to go in the destiny that God has for that family. So today what I want to talk about is shaping family through prayer. Now the reality is this. None of us are born into the shape that God has designed for us. Because we are all born in a sinful state of being. So every one of us have to be reshaped somewhere along our life journey. So what does God do? God intervenes through a spiritual weapon called prayer to bring us as well as those who are connected to us called family, say family, into his divine design and destiny for our lives. If you want to see your family change, it's not going to change because you want it to change. It's going to change when you begin to go to the original manufacturer of the family, which is God, and begin to pray. And God will use your prayers and my prayers to reshape our family. Sometimes parents have been addressing their children about a certain issue for years and nothing have changed. And then I ask the question, well, how much time have you invested in prayer, interceding, and even fasting for them in that situation? And it dawns on me that perhaps I need to do less time trying to give them instructions and invest more time in intercession and let the Holy Ghost do the work. So the question now becomes, who is shaping whom when it comes to the family? That's an important question. Who is shaping whom? Now, there are many things that can shape a family. I want you to grab this now. Sometimes a painful experience can shape a family. Sometimes problems shape a family. They've never developed the skills of conflict resolution. And so how they solve problems is they evade them or they deny them or try to act like they don't exist. In the name of keeping harmony, it doesn't work. Sometimes there's pressures in family and that shapes it. And even sometimes poverty shapes a family. Always financial challenges. A lot of time, perhaps, nobody develops skills in managing money. Sometimes families are shaped by what I call patterns of irresponsible or destructive behaviors that are condoned or either justified within family systems. Sometimes in family systems, people want to call things generational curses because it has a tendency to make us feel what? Less responsible. But sometimes things are just what I call patterns of behavior that are transferred to generations. We don't understand the dynamics of that. Sometimes when people grow up in certain family systems, there are patterns that to them now is normal and functional, but in reality it's dysfunctional, but they don't know it's dysfunctional. So here again, these are things that can shape a family. However, God's will is that prayer becomes a means whereby families are brought into shape, into the design, to the destiny that he has for them. And so we want to put prayer at the forefront to see our families change. Oswald Chambers said this: prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. In other words, we're not just praying so God can use us so we can carry out his works. Prayer in itself is the greatest work. Or the greater work. How can prayer shape our families, Pastor? Give me some specific things that I can take with me that I can put in application to see how the word can work in my context of my family, because all of us want to see our families reshape. Yeah, you want to see your cousins, you want to see your families reshape in the design that God has for them and in the destiny that he has for their lives. You don't want to see them reshaped to look like you, because why? God is still shaping you. Yeah, you're still on the potter's wheel. I don't care how spiritual you are, he's still turning you. I say he's still turning you, and he's still molding you. The first thing I think that means when we talk about prayer shaping the family is that prayers that shape a family are inspired by a love for God and from God. Prayers that shape a family, get this now, they are inspired. That word inspired means this is what motivates my prayers. This is what gives my prayers the inspiration and the kind of faith that is necessary, because love for God and from God is inspiring my prayers. Sometimes the most difficult people to pray for, especially when they are outside of God's plan, is when it comes to family. These are men is. The closer they are, the more challenging it becomes because of personal communication. It's much easier for you to pray for your coworker than it is to pray for your sibling, in which you and them may have some type of history that you find praying for them is a little more challenging, because I know more about him or her. Or I know that they get this. They are in their situation because of some decisions or choices they have made. I mean, a lot of us are in situation because of choices we have made. But yet God, what? He wants to use prayers to bring the reshaping. So sometimes because of personal communication and personal concern, they are close to you. So there are more emotions coming to the table with your prayers, especially when they are your children. And also because of care and commitment, these things can overrule allowing God's love and your love for God to provide the inspirations to your prayers. It's not that you don't love the individual. Matter of fact, you really love them. And so sometimes your emotions are more involved in the prayer than your faith. So that's the challenge sometimes when it comes to family. But yet, God wants us to pray so he can shape our family. Remember this now, in his design and toward his destiny for their lives. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 4:19. My children, with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. Now you got to remember, Paul had already poured into the life of these Galatian Christians. He had ministered to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got born again, and he used the word my children, not in a negative way, but it's showing his pastoral love. It's like a parent's love. He genuinely loved these Christians. And he didn't come back to them rebuking them for turning away from the truth or getting caught up with that false teaching, but he called them my children. In other words, you know what he said? You are still dear to my heart. I love you. And therefore, because I love you, I love God, I will travail. He uses a term that a female experienced in the birth of a child. In other words, I'm willing to labor. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to what? To give my strength so that Christ, what? Is formed in you. They're already born again, but he wants them to do what? It's called Christian discipleship. Christ formed in you. That means what? You are maturing in your faith. Listen, Christian. When you get saved, you need discipleship. Jesus did it with his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I will disciple you. Peter and all those disciples, they had issues that they brought to the table. But yet what? Jesus spent time with them. So what I'm saying is, love has to motivate your prayers. Until getting to that, I don't take nothing to do with them. I don't care about them. Mama gone, daddy gone, I don't care about them. God put you in that family for a reason. You didn't raise your hand to be in that family. It's by design. I say it's by design. Billy Graham said God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, what? I love you. Christ sacrificed his life. He was willing to suffer because what? He loved the world. Hallelujah. The world is in darkness. The world is against Jesus. The world is saying crucify him. But he did not allow the world to shape him. He was shaped by the Father. So he could what? Love the world despite how the world treated him. He suffered for the world. He suffered for you and I. And so when he's on the cross and he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's that? Love inspiring his prayer. Not his feelings, not his emotions, not his anger, not his bitterness, not resentment, but love inspiring his prayers. You got to make sure when you're praying for your family, it's inspired by love for God and love from God. Whether or not you're going to be praying, but you're praying mad at them. And when you get to that certain one in the family that's like the snake in the grass, you're going to, oh, your whole attitude is going to change while you're praying. Your prayer is going to go all to deliverance. Deliver, deliver them, God. Set them free. Deliver them, deliver them. All that deliverance is because of your attitude toward them. And maybe the Lord has wanted you to get quiet, so he said, let me deliver you first from anger. Let me deliver you first from unforgiveness toward them. So that you can pray an effective prayer that's inspired by your love for me and your love from me. Didn't Romans 5 say the love of God has been poured abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit? So we got the love of God in us, and we got to be willing to let it come out. The question is not how much of a sacrifice you have or are making for your family, but how much of a sacrifice through prayer are you making in order for God to shape that family in his design? Sometimes when you're doing so much for your family and you be like, I'm just tired of dealing with them. You do get tired of foolishness, of irresponsible behavior, of always wanting to borrow money. I'm talking where we live. Those things will shape your attitude. Then it comes over in your prayer time. You got to be able to say, Lord, I just release that stuff. I want to pray God, first of all, because of, get this, my love for you. And because I love you, God, I want everything that you love to become part of what I love. And God loves sinners. Let me say that again. God loves sinners. He died for sinners. I didn't say he loved sin. He died for sinners. And it's not God's will that any man perish, but that all men come to repentance. We got to have that kind of attitude toward the world rather than them and us. God don't want nobody to go to hell. God don't want nobody in your family to die without Christ. And get this, that's why he saved you, so he can get to them. He can get to them through your prayers. Turn to Luke 18. I want us to look here because there's some principles that Jesus laid out that I believe is necessary when we begin to pray for the shaping of our family. We want all our family members shaped in the design that God has for them and in the destiny that God has for their lives. So in Luke 18 and 1, this prayer is talking about persevering and patience in prayer. There are three obstacles that this widow has to overcome to get her prayer answered. The first one is her gender. She's a female. They didn't have no Women Live organization. Women had no voice, no say. So the mere fact that she's a female is an obstacle for her getting her request. The other obstacle is her status. She was a widow. As a widow, she had no husband to represent her. So she has no money to pay the assistants to get an audience with the judge. That's why she kept knocking on the door, distracting him, because she couldn't come through the assistant. She had no money. The third thing is her poverty. She couldn't pay the bribe. Jesus comes to the scene, and Jesus uses three contrasts in this text to communicate about prayer. The first contrast Jesus uses in verse 1, and that is this: prayer is contrasted with fainting. In other words, Jesus said, if you don't pray, this is what's going to happen. If you don't pray, you're going to lose heart. If you don't pray, you're going to get discouraged. If you don't pray, you're going to quit. And too many people get discouraged with their family. Too many people lose heart with their family. He contrasts the importance of what? Prayer. Listen, whatever you are dealing with in your life, if you are not praying, if you are not seeking God about that thing, you're going to faint. You're going to miss God. And so I want us to see that, because when it comes to praying for our families, we got to be willing to pray and prevail in our prayers. We got to be willing to persevere for our family members. We need to understand, when we are praying, we're going to trust God how he's going to do what? How he's going to shape it for his design and for their destiny. So we got to pray that way. We can't develop this attitude of hate and hostility toward family members. You're going to have some rough ones in the crowd, but those are the ones that you're going to have to deal with in the anointing. There are times you may have to tell them, right now, I'm going to leave this person and I'm just going to step away. Well, I just got to spend more time with God before I deal with this one. Remember, those disciples couldn't cast that demon out of that boy, and Jesus basically told them it was because of your prayer life. This kind come out only through what? Prayer. That's why you got to keep your prayer life intact. You got to be spiritually fit. You've been exercising your prayer life. So when you stand up, you will say, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I'm coming against this principality, this power, this evil spirit in the name of Jesus. Because the weapons of my warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Hallelujah. You stand up and say, I got the whole arm of God on today, and I'm a stand, and after doing all, stand. Second thing, prayers that shape a family are inspired by a lifestyle witness among family. I want you to grab this now. Your lifestyle witness is working toward your prayers with your family. That's why the question is, who is shaping whom? God wants you to be a lifestyle witness among your family. Saints, I'm telling you, family is the greatest challenge. Listen to what Jesus experienced in Mark 6 and 3. Let's go through, just walk through Jesus' experience. The Bible says in Mark 6 and 3, then they scoff. He's just a carpenter. Where is Jesus? In Nazareth. What's so special about Nazareth? Bethlehem was where he was born, but Nazareth was where he was raised. And they're saying this, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary. They didn't even call the son of Joseph. This is where? At home with his family. They scoff. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas. So he got what? He got four half-brothers and his sisters. Most people say he had two sisters living right here where? Among us. We know him. He grew up in this neighborhood. He went to school with us. He lived in the same house with us. This family talking, y'all. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Now, you got people traveling miles to get to Jesus. You got a woman breaking an expensive bottle of perfume to pour on his feet and wash his feet. You got people, great officials, coming to him, will you come and pray for my son that he might be healed? But when he get home, nobody giving him no respect. Nobody seeing him as a savior, a messiah. All he is what? A carpenter, son, a boy. They were deeply, did you get that word? Deeply offended by him. That's family. Listen, Mark 6:4. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Remember I told you? It's a challenge when you start praying for family, because they are not going to see you in your new shape. They're going to see you in your old shape. I don't care how much Christ you got. I don't care how much glory you've been under. When you come around them, they don't see no glory. They don't see no spiritual gifts. They don't see no anointing. And they definitely don't care nothing about your title. Why? They got so much history with you. To them, you ain't no better than us. Okay, how many robes you got on? How many cross around your neck? This is how they are now. But over a course of time, Jesus prayed for them. Jesus spent time with them. So in Acts chapter 1, we find some of the same family members who didn't believe in him, who didn't join in his ministry, who didn't go nowhere with him. in Acts 1 and 14, listen to what they said. The Bible said they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his what? His brothers. The same ones who rejected him now have a change of heart. God can reshape your family through your prayer. The old adage, a family that prays together stays together, that's not a promise. That's just a cliche. However, a family that provides a genuine witness of faithfulness to God's plan and purposes in the earth will have a great impact on other family members through their prayers and their lifestyle witness in Christ. Then through the course of time, they will have a living witness of hope and faith lived out by those just like them. Your family needs a living portrait of a life in Christ that's motivated by love. I done hear Christians say, I just cuss my family out. That ain't nothing shocking to them. They say that's how you used to do when you grew up with us. It's when they see the love of Christ and how you respond to their craziness that gets their attention. Galatians 1, 22 and 20 says this, all they knew was that people were saying, this is Paul now, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. This is Paul. They knew how he was before, but after he had that encounter with Jesus on that Damascus road, Paul did not go to Jerusalem and join with the apostles initially. For 3 years, he was out there doing what God called him to do, and the people finally realized that, what? This man has changed. Your family can change. Let me say that again. Your family can change. Intercession, prayers. Most of them know when you got first get saved, you got the zeal. You want to see everybody in your family saved. Anybody had that experience? You get saved, you just want everybody saved. I mean, you just, especially if your parents weren't saved, you want to get them saved. Because what? That's the love of God. That's God's love in your heart. But over a course of time, what happened? You begin to get away from that first love. You got to get back to that point. God saved you in that family. So what? So he can have access into that family through your prayers. You know how to pray for them. Your heart is in it. You want to see them born again. The last thing, prayers that shape a family are inspired by helping others to lean more on God and less on you. Tragedy is sometimes because you are spiritual, you can almost become their Jesus. And they don't see a need to change because they can just call you and you got access to God. But you want to teach them how to lean on the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 16, the background was the King Asa. King Asa had lived his life leaning on God, trusting God. Then he gets older in his life and been a king for a while. Then he started looking, what, to man, depending on man. And God rebuked him for that. And sometimes some of us start out sensitive and to the Lord and just depending on God. But after we've walked with God for so many years, some of us have a tendency to start regressing and trusting and leaning on God. We want to do it ourselves. We want to handle it ourselves. We want to fix it ourselves. And God is saying, wait a minute. Why won't you allow me to show myself strong in your behalf? The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those who are. Heart is loyal to him, whose heart is trusting him. Sometimes we have to tell family members and instruct them in the things of God so they can begin to use their faith. I like Malachi 3:10. Sometimes family members have a tendency. It's not that you got a lot of money. You just know how to manage your money. You know how to live within your means. They don't know that. So what they get 1 week is gone the next week because of their lifestyle. I'm just showing you that. Their priorities are wrong. Here they went to a concert and paid $70 to hear somebody, and then they call you for money to help with the light bill. I'm just showing you. Something wrong with that picture, right? Yeah, something wrong with it. What it is, their priorities are wrong. They're not bad people. Their priorities are wrong. They'll take money and do stuff with it for pleasure, and then next thing you know, their responsibilities are due, but they can't handle their responsibility because they went to have pleasure. I'm just showing you. They want to what? Lean on you. And God didn't call you to have them to lean on you. He called you to teach them how to lean on him. And so sometimes you might want to take them to Malachi 3:10, because Malachi said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be. You know what they need? They need a blessing. They don't come to you and say, I need a blessing. They say, I need a favor. But you tell them you need a blessing. And they'll say, well, what you mean you need a blessing? You need God to give you a blessing. They will agree with you on that. God can give me a blessing. Yes. How can God give me a blessing? Honor God with your money. God gives you a challenge. God say, prove me. Try me. How many know that's a challenge? Some people don't like a challenge. They get scared. I don't want a challenge. The challenge is what brings change in your life. If you're always afraid to try something different, you always do what you've always done. And you always get what you always got. And people don't like change because they get comfortable with the norm. So here, God say, prove me. In other words, I'm giving you a challenge. Now, here's the thing. He gives us a challenge, but he places his commitment to it. If you respond to the challenge, I'm going to be committed to be faithful to open up windows of heaven over your life. Now, for his audience that day, you know what windows of heaven meant? Rain and all kinds of seasons. Because rain meant prosperity. That's why they worship false gods, the god of rain and all that. But God said, I open up windows. That means it could be a season that they call a dry season, but it's going to be a water season for your life. So I open up windows of heaven. And get this, he also tells them, I'm going to provide pest control for your life. Because you can have all the rain you want. If the right pests get in that place, it's going to destroy what you got. What's the pest control? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Isn't God good? He said, in other words, when Satan show up to attack your finances, I'm going to take care of him before he can. Pest control. Isn't God an awesome God? Our family members got to know how to lean more on God and not on us. Don't make us your Jesus. Because we're leaning on the Lord ourselves, right? And not only does he provide pest control, he provides maturity. He said, get this, that your fruit will not cast its vine before its season. In other words, you're going to be in the right time in every season of your life. Acts 20:35, I'm close with this verse. The Bible said, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This is what I'm saying. We've got to teach them how to lean on God, how to put faith in God. To know, okay, you have a need. When the last time you blessed somebody else? So my point is this. Let's train them on how to be givers and not takers. Because sometimes they are takers. They have a taking mentality. Anything free, they take it. But they won't give nothing to it. Sometimes those folk join your church. The takers. Oh, glory, help us, Jesus. Amen. Why? Because it comes from home. But you want to teach them how to lean on the Lord. Now, you may have a certain shape you may want to see your family in. I want to ask you to encourage you to divorce that. Let it go. Loose it. Throw it out the window. And begin to pray for God's will and his word to bring your family into the shape and design that he wants for them. What's that look like? It looked like Jeremiah 29:11. That God wants our family to look like. I know the plans. I know the purposes that I have for your life, says the Lord. Plans of peace and not of evil or harm to give you future and a hope. How many know that's what God wants for our families? Even if they're walking contrary to God, that's God's will for them. I have a plan. I have a purpose for your life. And that's what I want you to walk in. And that's what I want you to live out. It's going to begin when we begin to pray. Prayers that is inspired by our love for God and love from God. When our lifestyle witness to our family inspires our prayers for our family. And when helping family to lean on God and not on us need to inspire our prayers for our family. That's what God wants us to do for our families.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.